Today we're going to be concluding our series on worship team basics. We're going to talk about what is worship flow. So just a quick summary, quick review. Worship, we said, is the act of responding to God's revelation of His infinite worth. We said that a worshiper is one who spends their whole life seeking, finding, and responding to God's revelation of His infinite worth. A worship leader is a worshiper who is called, gifted, and yielded to the privilege of leading others in responding to God's revelation of His infinite worth. A worship team, then, is a family of worship leaders, each called, gifted, and yielded to leading others in responding to God's revelation of His infinite worth. Are you seeing a focus, a pattern in this? Worship music, we saw in our last lesson, is music that helps us to perceive and respond to God's revelation of His infinite worth. And so today we're talking about what is worship flow. And our working definition of worship flow is it's an administration that unites all these other components to move as one in perceiving and responding to the revelation of God's infinite worth. The word flow is defined as to move freely from one place to another in a steady, unbroken stream, unhindered, steady movement. I want to read a scripture from John 7, 38 and 39, where Jesus uses this term. He says, "He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. But he spoke this concerning the Spirit whom those believing in him would receive." Psalm 46:10 says, "There is a river, the streams of which make glad the city of God." All right, so someone who is thirsty could be refreshed by water from a pool or a pond, but these comparisons to a river are intentional, and they indicate a couple of things. They indicate movement and also constant renewal and a dynamic refreshing. In Ezekiel 47, verses 1 through 12, we won't read it, but Ezekiel saw a vision of a trickle of water that was forming in a corner of the temple. And then he followed it, and it became a river. When he looked into this flowing river, there was life everywhere. All the fish were thriving. He looked along the banks, and there was all kinds of trees flourishing and bearing fruit. And then when the river flowed out to the Dead Sea, those dead or salt waters became fresh water, alive. The flow of the river of the Holy Spirit brings the life of God to the church, His people. And we know that this has to do with the whole life of the church, right? Not just the corporate meetings, but we're going to use this scriptural comparison to help us understand the flow of worship in corporate meetings, because that's primarily where we serve together as worship teams and the focus of what we're talking about. When we come together in a worship meeting, first of all, the Holy Spirit has an agenda, a purpose, a goal. It's to glorify God. And that's just another way of saying our definition of worship, to reveal the infinite worth of God. His plan is to glorify God in a particular way each time that we seek Him together. So He has an agenda. The Holy Spirit also has an administration or a method, a plan. It's designed to help us perceive God in whatever way He's revealing Himself today and to help us respond to that revelation. He knows where we're going, and He knows exactly how to move us from point A to point B to get there. For example, Ezekiel followed the trickle of water, and he found that as it flowed toward the Dead Sea, it got deeper and deeper. And it describes it as going from ankle deep to knee deep, then waist deep, to finally over the head swimming it deep, and then it flowed out to the sea. In our corporate worship times, there's a pattern that usually goes something like this. We'll compare it to ankle deep. That's Thanksgiving. We come together, we gather ourselves together, and we just begin to remind ourselves of who God is, how He is, and give thanks. And then there's knee deep, declaration of praise. We begin to think about who He is and what He's done, and we begin to praise Him. We begin to declare praises to Him. Waist deep, as we begin to praise Him, He begins to inhabit our praise, and we begin to adore Him and to worship Him more intimately. And then finally, river deep. Deep communion. We're swimming now. It's over our heads deep, and we're just in deep communion with God. There's a progression, a pattern, a flow to it, where we don't have people just come in from not thinking about God and not being with Him, maybe not focused on Him so much, and we try to bring them to that deep place of communion. The Lord knows our frame, that we're but dust, and that we need a progression to make ourselves aware of Him and to come into His presence. We find this progression in a regular conversation. You come into somebody's house and you don't immediately just sit down and get into deep, deep things with them. You come in with a greeting and you sit and catch up with one another. And then eventually you begin to share hearts and to open up to one another. It's kind of just a normal communication process that we're in. But the Holy Spirit knows how to move us from one level of depth of communion with God to the next, smoothly and in a flowing manner that gets us to that destination. So the Holy Spirit has an agenda and an administration. We have an agenda and an administration. Our agenda, where His is to glorify God, our agenda is to be in the glory of God in that meeting. We want to perceive and respond to the revelation of His infinite worth in whatever way He's revealing it to us today. And then we have an administration. We have a plan, primarily made up of practical details to help us reach our goal. For instance, we're going to start at 10 o'clock or sometime soon after. We're going to have someone with a microphone open the meeting. We're going to sing songs. We're going to preach, and eventually we're going to go home. But the most important part of our administration is that we have determined to find the Holy Spirit and to follow His administration or His flow. Now, let's use our river example to see how this works in a worship service. In a river, there's a pattern to the flow. It's flowing in the same direction every day. It's bounded by the same banks, for instance, every day. And yet the actual water flowing through it is new and fresh every day. It's fresh every day because it's always being renewed from the source. In a worship service, there's a pattern or administration to the flow. We're going to come to the same building, start at the same time, be led by the same group of people, sing some of the same songs maybe. Yet the dynamic of the move of the Spirit is new and fresh. It's different every time. It's fresh every time, just like the river water, because the flow is being renewed from the source. So why do we need an administration? Why not just come every week with a blank slate and see what happens? Well, a river without banks is called a flood. It's watery chaos that destroys rather than blesses the land. And a worship service without a plan or administration is spiritual chaos. It's unproductive, maybe even destructive. Now, on the flip side of that, a body of water with well-defined banks but no flowing water becomes a stagnant pool. There's no life. It leads nowhere. And a worship service with a great plan, but no move of the Spirit flowing through it, doesn't bring the life of God to the people of God. No forward movement into God's purposes. We always want to have a plan. God's big on plans. You can see that from several examples in Scripture, a couple of them, Moses' tabernacle. The plans were so specific and detailed for the building of the tabernacle. And in the same way, David, the plans that God gave him to prepare for the building of the temple, very detailed. It's just that those plans weren't the goal. They were designed to make a place for God to live in. That was the goal. So we always want to have a plan. It's just that we always want to yield to the Holy Spirit along the way, because He's going to give us a smooth flowing means of arriving at our destination of God's presence. It's kind of like driving the car. When I get in the car, I'm headed somewhere. That's the goal. Driving the car, when I was a teenager, driving the car was the purpose. It was fun, but I'm way, way, way over that. Driving the car is not the purpose. Getting somewhere is the purpose or the goal. But the administration of getting there requires that I get in the car, start it, shift into gear, drive it. But along the way, I flow with traffic and environment. You know, if it's raining, I turn my wipers on. If I'm trying to flow onto the freeway and somebody's in my lane, I yield to them. If someone's going faster or slower, somebody's driving 30 in front of me, I don't go 70. If somebody's going 70 behind me, I don't go 30. All of these different things where we're going to have an administration of driving the car, but we're going to flow with what's going on that day, and we're going to wind up at our destination. How do we learn to follow the flow of the Holy Spirit? First of all, we live life with God. Can I say that again? We learn to follow the flow of the Holy Spirit by living life with God. We learn to find and follow the Holy Spirit in our own everyday life. And as worship team leaders and members, we should practice following the Holy Spirit in worship and prayer every day. We don't just come and pray the same religious or rote prayers. Jesus called it vain repetitions. We don't just come with a mechanical worship and prayer life. We have a living relationship, a flowing fresh water, fresh stream, rivers of living water from our innermost being flowing through us. And we follow the Holy Spirit in our own life and wind up where God wants to take us every day. That's first and foremost. And then secondly, we simply follow our leaders. In 1 Chronicles 25, verse 1 says, David and the chiefs of the service also set apart for the service the sons of Asaph and of Heman and of Jeduthun, who prophesied with lyres and harps and with cymbals. Skip down to verse 6. It says, they were all under the direction of their fathers in the music in the house. They were prophesying. So it was the Spirit of the Lord upon them, impelling them towards the expression of what was inside them in music. But it was under the direction of their fathers in the music in the house of the Lord with cymbals, harps, and lyres for the service of the house of God. And then the fathers, Asaph, Jeduthun, and Heman, were under the order of the king. In a worship gathering, we are serving the leaders as they seek to find the flow of the Holy Spirit for the meeting. So the church leaders, whoever's leading the meeting as a worship team, we follow our worship leader. We're all submitted for the purpose of finding God, seeing His revelation, whatever He's revealing to us today. We want to see it, perceive it, and then we want to respond and help others to respond to it. So when I'm just getting ready to have my big solo and one of the leaders walks to the mic and says, praise God, we're just going to end right there and get to the announcements, we smile and say amen as enthusiastically as we possibly can. When we're sure we have the right song for this altar moment and one of the leaders comes up and says, would you play this other song? We smile and say, absolutely, and we do our best to play it. Or the worship leader says, I know you learned to play this song that way, but we're going to play it this way. We say, yes, we are. Talking about how do we learn to follow the flow of the Holy Spirit. So we live life with God, we follow our leaders, and then we learn to flow with one another. We humble ourselves and submit our gifts to serve together. And that's in life. We're a team, we're a family. We learn to serve one another and to submit to one another in life and to support one another. But also in these meetings, we submit to and support and flow with one another. That means spiritually, with our attitudes and things, but also just musically as one, we sense the flow of the Spirit and the move of the Spirit upon one instrument or one voice over another, and we back up and make way for it. And if the Spirit is on us, we have courage, we have faith, and we move out, and we don't leave everybody else hanging when the Spirit is upon us. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and He will exalt you in due time. So when He moves upon you, not to exalt you to a place where you're being worshipped or exaltation in that way, but to put you in the forefront because He's desiring to use you right now. So we not only humble ourselves to make way for each other's gift, but we also have faith that when the Holy Spirit is upon us, we're anointed and we play our part in finding the flow and following the flow so that everyone can perceive and respond to the revelation of God's infinite worth and the way He's revealing it today. So just in summary, again, what is worship flow? It's an administration that unites all the other components that we've talked about in worship and worship leading to move as one in perceiving and responding to the revelation of God's infinite worth.